All right, we're stepping out. It's 7:42 the time. Caleb in for Paul, as promised. City Manager James Fried joining us in studio. Good morning, James.
Good morning.
How are you doing this morning?
Well, Lucy didn't sleep well last night, so I didn't sleep well last night, so I didn't have to wake up too early to get here because I was already up.
We do have a couple of school closings, by the way, before we get into the interview. Basically, if you are a public school employee or a student in Sanilac County, you have the day off today. Congratulations, because basically all of the public school districts up there, Brown City, Cross, Lex, Peck, Sandusky, all canceling classes today. That complete list can be viewed on our website. But anyway, James Fried, City Manager, City of Port Huron. Going on tonight, let's start with this. Goal setting session. What is it?
So the mayor and council on an annual basis have a goal setting session that we do right around budget time, which right now we're beginning to put the budget together. We run about a $29 million general fund budget. Factoring all the utilities, because we serve water and sewer to 50,000 users, we have about a $90 million operating budget and about 400 employees. 230 of those are full-time. And so the mayor and council get together once a year, and they really set the direction of what they want to see accomplished in the coming year. I am not elected. I don't set policy, and I don't set the direction of the city, nor does the administration. We take our lead from the duly elected officials, and the mayor and council take that job very seriously and lay out the guideposts, which will send us forward for the next 12 months and help us in our budget development. So they will do that tonight. They do like a whole little thing where they all get stickers and they rate the goals and they rate the priorities. And it's actually a pretty interesting process. If you can go online right now and download last year's goals and objectives and to see just how in-depth the mayor and council really go on what they want to see. First, they do the priority goals, and then they do a secondary goals, like here's the follow-up, and then the long-term goals, what we want to see in the long-term future.
How did we do on reaching last year's goals? Did we meet any of them?
Well, I'm still employed, so apparently doing well.
Okay. what were some of those?
Well,
give us a couple
examples. Some of those goals were we wanted to do the $50 million refinancing of our pension and OPEB liabilities to, one, protect the pension and benefits for our first responders and our public servants, while at the same time maintaining a cash flow positive future and not weighing down the next generation of our unfunded liabilities. So we addressed that this year, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. Infrastructure was a big one, water and sewer. Another one was making sure that we had more equitable delivery of services. Their goal setting session last year is really what set the course for the creation of the Office of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion. And it also created the hiring processes and changes made throughout the year. We've done a lot of administrative changes on hiring processes and protections. For instance, we now have LGBTQ protections in our administrative policies. That came out of the goal setting session last year. So all of these administrative directives and things that the administration does throughout the year, that's at the direction of the mayor and council.
So one of those, as you alluded to, was the unfunded liabilities.
Yes.
You received what, tentative approval to issue the bonds?
We have received formal approval from the Department of Treasury of the state. So this is important because we've also received a confirmation A-plus rating from S&P out of Chicago. So we put together a comprehensive financial plan, and then we essentially shop it around to S&P saying, here's our financial plan. What will you rate these bonds based on this financial plan? They gave it an A-plus rating. We take it to Treasury, and they have their whole team analyst, and they look at it, and they have the right to say yay or nay, and they've said this is a good plan. What's interesting is this is the first of its plan of its kind in the fact that we are restructuring the unfunded liabilities on a 30-year amortization, essentially refinancing the mortgage, but we're doing it in a way that will save the taxpayers about $50 million, $2 million on an annual basis. $50 million. That's $50 million that, one, our children won't be saddled with, and that's $50 million that we can, over the next 30 years, invest in city services and city infrastructure, quality parks and recreation, quality police and fire, quality roads. So this has really done a long-term correction that was needed, because really there was no viable path forward for us without the restructuring. And people ask, you know, well, what does unfunded liabilities mean? You know, what does a pension, what does that affect my daily life? Well, it affects your water bill. You know, the guy who's out there fixing your, guy out there fixing your water and sewer main, they have a pension, they have retiree benefits, they have to be paid. And if we can keep those costs in check, we can help keep your water bill stable at a lower rate. Same with keeping your taxes low.
So a couple of questions further about the whole bonding thing. Isn't that just basically going into debt still? It doesn't fix that issue. It just buys you more time.
Well, no. Here's what we've done. We've one, we've closed our pension systems to all new hires. So now we now have a 401k, 401a style system like the private sector does. We've capped our final average compensation to cauterize the growth of the unfunded liabilities. And we've restructured the debt year under the premise that the unfunded liabilities, the pension obligations, that they're somehow not debt. I disagree with that. I think we're taking a soft cost and making it a hard cost over the long term. So if you're the premonition that we don't have to pay our police and firefighters the pensions that they were promised, sure. But I believe that those are real obligations.
Some people do feel that way, though, that if the city doesn't have the money, city shouldn't be spending the money. That maybe they overpromised and underdelivered.
Well, the state constitution protects those pensions.
And your collective bargaining agreements do, too.
Correct. Right? But I also think beyond the state constitution, if this was your mom or dad, or this was your brother or sister who worked their entire careers for a retirement benefit, and they were 70, 80 years old, you're going to send them a letter and say it's no longer there? This is the great moral and ethical question of our time. And the issue is important here, as we talk a lot about this. I gave a speech in 2015 to 800 elected officials across the state to bring this issue to the forefront. Nobody was talking about it. Now, everybody's talking about it. The difference between Port Huron and every other city is every other city is now waking up and going to their audits and going to their valuations and realize, oh, we have a problem that they've been ignoring for years. We've spent the last 5 years making a plan and executing that plan.
Are you saying that we're now the model? Are you seeing other municipalities doing this?
I will tell you that the state treasury believes that we are now the model forward. We implemented a plan with our collective bargaining agreements to cauterize the growth of our unfunded liabilities. And then we worked out a plan to restructure the liability payments so that they're manageable and so that we can pay them off, fulfill our promises, and maintain a cash flow positive future. That took 5 years of hard work and sacrifice and a lot of political leadership. To be quite frank, this mayor and council made very difficult decisions. And the difference between every other city is leadership. Do you have the leadership that is willing to do what is right, is willing to say, you know what, no, we need to take action now, even though it may not be politically the right best timing, or maybe it's a confusing issue that people don't understand, but we need to lead on this issue. And this mayor and council have led. Not all of them. There's about one out there who opposed everything. But the mayor and council as a whole has led on these issues. They've made the difficult decisions. And because of that, the citizens will save $50 million because of their willingness to do what was right. And the police and firefighters who have worked their entire careers and the public workers who worked their entire careers, those pensions are secure and safe.
Let's move on to another topic, Knoxfield Park. Work starting there maybe a little sooner than you anticipated?
Global warming's great for Port Huron. I mean, we were able to install the playground in the middle of December because the ground wasn't frozen. So, yeah, I tell you what, it's cheap labor in the middle of December if you want to install something. So, yeah, they were able to install the playground. The zip line's in, the innovative play set's in. It looks really good. So there's a splash pad there. Now there's this really cool playground set. And there's also a pavilion there. Of course, the mulch isn't in. We'll get the mulch delivered. It's got to have, honestly, I think almost 2.5 feet of mulch that's to be dumped in there. So it's a significant amount of mulch we'll get delivered in the spring.
So this was kind of bouncing back and forth. We were looking at Knox Field. Then it was going to go up, Gratiot Park. And then now it's going back to Knox Field, this playscape. What does that mean for Gratiot Park then?
Oh, I think in the budget development, we're going to take care of Gratiot.
Okay.
Yeah. No, here's the thing. We have 10 parks. Well, we have 22 parks. We have about 10 play structures that need to be replaced. And a play structure is between 50,000. Well, really, you can't get much for 50. It's got to be about $75,000 to $100,000. Play structures are expensive. It's crazy expensive.
You got a good deal on this one.
We did because they put the wrong color in an Optimus. And they said it was like orange instead of like red. And they're like, we could take the whole thing out and give you a new one. And we thought, well, no, we'll take our orange and we'll negotiate for a free play set someplace else. But we also had some grant funds as well that went into it. So we're working right now with a couple of our funding partners to do a multi-year strategy for our play structures. How do we address all 10 play structures? Some of them are some liability issues, you know, they get dangerous and if someone gets hurt on them, that's a liability issue. So we want to make sure that they're safe, make sure that they're well-maintained. If they need to be replaced, let's get a plan of action in place. So we're working with Nancy Windsor on that.
Speaking of parks, Haynes Park was in the news late last year. It was going to be sold to SC4. Plans changed. What's happening there? Anything?
No, nothing right now. We're in conversation. They have some student housing that's going to be going up around Haynes Park. So I think they're looking at doing some enhancements to Haynes Park to make sure that the neighborhood can use it. And maybe the students would like to use it in a certain way.
Your thoughts on the idea of SC4 moving their softball fields and the soccer complex to Marysville instead of Port Huron?
Well, what's good for SC4 is good for everybody. If SC4, I don't have time to follow SC4's inner workings, but if their very capable president, administration, and board of directors believes that this is the best option, and Marysville does, then we support it. We just want to do what's best for the college. We believe that a growing, vibrant college is in the best interest of the entire region. It's St. Clair College. It's not Port Huron College. And it belongs to the entire county. And so if those resources want to be dispersed like that and it works out better for them, we support that. We just want to do what's best for the college.
So this isn't totally off the table. There might be more happening with Haynes Park down the road. Now the done.
We support a strong and vibrant
SC4. I'll take that as a maybe. Stay tuned. All right. Water levels, quickly. What's happening with those? Still concerns in the Canal District?
That's where global warming hasn't been good to Port Huron. The water levels are historic highs. They're going to be high.
Absolutely.
They're going to be high in 3 to 4 years. This is not going to be something that's going to go down in a couple weeks or a couple months. Luckily, winter has been somewhat gracious to us. But along, if you go where Holland Ave, south to Sherman Wood, some of those homes have water up there in their homes already. If there's a good northeastern, there's water getting blown in their basements. We see significant erosion issues. What happened is we used to allow, so for instance, we would close a tainer gate and allow the canal to raise up 2 or 3 feet. That would create some nice head pressure. Then we'd open up the tainer gate in the spring and it would blow out all the sand, significantly reduce our dredging costs. Well, the issue is because the Black River is so high, we don't have free capacity in the river to raise it up artificially to blow out the canal.
Yeah, they'll be putting it in people's basements.
Exactly. So now pretty much the tainer gate is essentially closed because now the lake level is so high, it would be pushing back in. So we'll do significant more dredging in the spring to account for it.
Wow. All right. One more time, goal setting session tonight in one of the conference rooms over at the MOC. 6 o'clock?
Yes, 408, 6 o'clock. It's an interesting process. We'll put them all online tomorrow morning.
All right. And public's, of course, welcome to attend their input. That sort of thing. City Manager James Freed, Manager of the City of Port Huron, thanks for joining us this morning.
Anytime.
It's Caleb in for Paul. 7:54 is the time here on WPHM. Quick